Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To the pylon, touchdown!
They are chanting MVP.
I've never seen that move, and I've been watching football all my life.
Looking for the edge in your fantasy football league? You're in the right place. This is the Upper Hand Fantasy Podcast.
If anyone's breaking out in a massive way this year, it's him.
Where smart strategy meets data that actually matters.
That's the type of ceiling we're talking about here.
Here's your host, Faraz Siddiqui.
All right, guys, for our next guest segment, we're going to have Daryl Ryder, Browns beat reporter for 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Daryl, thanks so much for joining.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
For sure. So, you know, there's a lot of talk going on right now with the Browns, right? There's a quarterback situation that's trying to be figured out. There's a Browns running back situation that we're trying to figure out. You know, from a fantasy perspective, you know, we're all trying to figure out what these depth charts are looking like. And obviously, there's a lot of movement. We're still, I think, relatively early, you know, in, you know, the training camp preseason process. Obviously, preseason really getting underway later this week. But just want to kind of get some insights into what you've seen, you know, boots on the ground, you know, in camp. And I want to start with the running back situation, if we can. Obviously, Quinshon Judkins going through his off-the-field issues right now. But I'm really curious, you know, you guys, you know, the Browns also drafted, you know, Dylan Sampson this year, you know, Jerome Ford coming back. He was a little bit banged up, right, early on, you know, OTAs, maybe, you know, early on in camp as well. But apparently he's back. Sampson, you know, potentially getting some opportunity here. How is he looking? You know, is there a chance that, you know, if Judkins were to miss some time, that he can get some real opportunity, obviously, with, you know, Jerome Ford being the veteran there?
Well, Jerome Ford right now is running back one. The hardest part of training camp right now is trying to evaluate just how good the running game is, just because, you know, sometimes they're live tackling, sometimes they're thudding, sometimes they're in the shorts and the shirts and the helmets. So they are going to lean on their running game, or at least try to lean on their running game. But they're also going to use these running backs coming out of the backfield. So you're not just going to be having to be dependent for fantasy points just strictly on ground yardage, but they're going to throw the ball to these running backs who are going to be safety valves for whoever they pick to play quarterback throughout the 17-game season. I think it's a safe bet that the Browns will not play games 1 through 17 with the same quarterback. They've only done that a handful of times since 1999. Tim Couch, Baker Mayfield, the only two quarterbacks in the modern franchise history, the expansion history of this franchise, to play all 17, or I should say a full complement of regular season games, 16 or 17 games there. But yeah, right now it's you're looking at Jerome Ford as running back number one. Dylan Sampson's pretty much running back two. Pierre Strong's getting some looks here in camp. There's this Toa Taua kid that they brought in last week. They signed him for some added running back depth. And, you know, quite frankly, the Quinshon Judkins legal situation really threw a monkey wrench into their plans with the running game, because they drafted him 36th overall with the intention of him being the Nick Chubb replacement. Fair or not, that's what he was supposed to be. And obviously, unsigned, going through the legal process, and then also, too, going through a league process, because even if the legal process clears up, he still has to sign his contract, and the NFL has to determine whether or not they want to levy any discipline against him for a potential violation of the conduct policy.
100%. And, you know, if Judkins, if this never happened with Judkins, would the assumption have been that, you know, obviously it's hard to say before seeing him in camp, but, you know, would you have thought that, you know, because with Nick Chubb on third downs, passing down situation, we still had other running backs involved here, right? So would, if you had to make an assumption, you know, with Judkins there, would you have assumed, you know, Judkins potentially that early down thumper, and then Jerome Ford potentially still involved regardless?
Yeah, absolutely. Judkins would be the lead running back had he been available. And I was penciling him in for 1,000 yards his rookie season. Now, 1,000 yards today does not mean what it used to 5, 10, 15 years ago, because you're playing a 17-game schedule. You should be able to hit 1,000 yards if you're a lead back in the National Football League. It's when you get up into the 11, 12, 13, 1,300 yards. That's the new 1,000-yard benchmark in the NFL, because, again, the schedule has been expanded. But, yeah, that's why this whole situation is so unfortunate. Speaking strictly from a football standpoint, speaking strictly from a fantasy football standpoint, Judkins would have been a player that I would have recommended fantasy players to draft. Maybe not high, but he certainly would have been a real good running back too on your rosters. But right now you can't count on him because he's just not available. So I would recommend bypassing him. And then if we get into the season and he becomes available, well, maybe he ends up being a midseason pickup for you.
Right. Okay. Now, moving on to the wide receivers. You know, last year, Amari Cooper got hurt. You know, we saw both Jerry Jeudy and Cedric Tillman step up, you know, relatively equally, you know, at that time. But then Tillman ended up getting hurt as well. And it was the Jerry Jeudy show after that. Is there a world where we do see a possible 1A, 1B situation in terms of, you know, who the clear focal point for this wide receiver core is? Or is there a clear guy who's standing out among this group?
Well, outside of Jerry Jeudy, they don't have anything in the wide receiver room that you can bona fide say he is going to be a consistent contributor. Cedric Tillman is a player to watch, but he's a guy you have deep down on your fantasy team roster. You are not drafting him as your wide receiver 1, 2, or 3. I'm just keeping it real. Jerry Jeudy, I don't know that Jerry Jeudy's wide receiver 1 on your fantasy team. For me, he'd probably be wide receiver 2 or 3. Because, again, the quarterback situation just completely complicates everything for this team when you're talking about offensive output, right, and accruing fantasy points. I would recommend drafting 0 Browns quarterbacks. They're all terrible. they are not worth your time. Like, if you can't find anybody else to play, okay, maybe, in a pinch, but – I'd stay away from the Browns quarterback room completely as a fantasy player. But, you know, outside of Jeudy and Tillman, everything else is an enigma, quite frankly. You know, Jamari Thrash, don't know what to expect from him. Deontay Johnson, right, free agent signing from Baltimore. He ran into a bunch of trouble last season when he was bouncing around teams, right? He's having a good camp. And a good offseason, but I don't know if you can count on him, right? I don't know if that's going to continue into the season. So he is certainly a complicated figure. And then, yeah, there's not much beyond the names that I mentioned there from a receiver standpoint. Unfortunately, the Browns offense right now, based on what I've seen in training camp, does not appear to have very much firepower to it.
Yeah, no, totally. And, you know, I wanted to ask you about Deontay Johnson, right? And that's good insight. But, you know, Deontay Johnson, like, before he was getting all that, you know, drama last year, he was one of the league's best target earners, you know, over the previous few seasons. You know, one of the, you know, some would say one of the best route runners too. Like, are we seeing any version of that in camp right now? Like, could we potentially see a role for him? Because, you know, I'm just curious, because did that – where did all that talent go? Are we seeing glimpses of it at all?
Yeah, you can see it in practice. It's there, but it's unreliable, right? I mean, you don't know based on his track record if he's going to stay with the program, so to speak. You know, so the talent's there. That is not an issue for me. When I'm watching him, he looks good on the practice field. It's a matter of all the other things that impacted him a year ago. You know, does that impact him here in Cleveland? And if this season goes the way some national prognosticators are predicting that it will for the Browns, they're predicting it's going to be a very difficult year for them to win games. And it's probably going to be pretty topsy-turvy at the quarterback position, right? First of all, we don't know who the week one starter is. And this is an organization that has to use 3 and 4 quarterbacks to get through a season on the regular. And they're probably going to keep all 4 of these quarterbacks. They're up to 6 now, if you include Deshaun Watson, and now they just added Tyler Huntley. They're up to 6 quarterbacks in the organization right now because Shedeur Sanders is banged up with the shoulder soreness. You got Dylan Gabriel and Kenny Pickett with hamstring injuries that are limiting them and their availability. So they had to bring in Huntley just to get him through the first preseason game. He'll probably start the first preseason game, and then maybe Shedeur Sanders has to mop things up there in the second half. But, yeah, that's the question with Diontae Johnson. It's not a talent issue. You see it when he's on the field, and you see why he continues to get as many chances as he's gotten in the NFL, right? As they say, talent and production breeds tolerance. Well, you see why there's a lot of tolerance there. My only concern with him isn't so much from a talent or an output potential standpoint. It's just, is he going to stay on board with the program and be a good teammate?
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To keep this offense on schedule, like, you have to assume that, you know, Joe Flacco will, you know, be that guy, you know, among this quarterback room right now. But, you know, there's obviously, you know, Dylan Gabriel was drafted, Shedeur Sanders was drafted, Kenny Pickett was brought in. You know, is there any, like, obviously, you know, you already mentioned this quarterback room, you know, is not good. But what does the plan look like right now in terms of, like, okay, like, we can have one of these quarterbacks come in and maybe get some first reps with the first team as we continue to move on? You know, can that be Dylan Gabriel? Can that be Shedeur Sanders? I'll just give you my opinion from pre-draft. You know, I thought Shedeur Sanders was potentially going to be a good quarterback. Are we seeing some of that? Like, I know he's not getting a lot of the first team reps right now, or any, you know, are we seeing any glimpses of Shedeur Sanders and what a lot of people, including myself, I thought that he could potentially be in terms of accuracy, pocket presence, and that sort of thing. And how is he looking compared to Dylan Gabriel, who might get a little bit more of that opportunity so far?
Well, I'll say this. My personal assessment of these rookie quarterbacks is that Dylan Gabriel is light years away from being productive in the National Football League as a quarterback. But the organization loves him. They love especially behind the scenes, how he's picked up the playbook and the offense and how he is in team meetings. And these are all things that we are not privy to. We're not exposed to. And I have been really hard on Dylan Gabriel locally. And I've taken a little criticism for that. But my argument is I'm not treating him like the third round pick that he is because the organization isn't. He's getting first team reps on a regular basis. There are days in practice, and I'm not just talking training camp because they're a little shorthanded. I'm talking going back to minicamp, OTAs, offseason program. This dude was first up in 11 on 11. Okay. So if you're not going to treat him like a third round pick, then don't get mad when my evaluation is treating him as, because he's supposed to be in this competition. It's a 4-man race, allegedly, for this quarterback job. It really isn't. He and Shedeur are not starting week one. That is just not happening. But my point of mentioning Dylan, because I know you asked about Shedeur, is Shedeur is light years behind Dylan. So I think that should tell you where those guys stand. Like, if they play Dylan Gabriel this year, that means one of two things. The season's gone horrifically bad, or they are really trying to get the number one pick in the draft, because he's not ready. He is not ready for this. I see it in practice every day. He gets outside the pocket. He's missing guys open down the field. They're in the individual warm-up period, and he's missing guys. There's no defense on the field. Like, those should be 100% completed footballs. And it's not like receivers are dropping the ball. No, he is missing the receivers. Now, I say that not knowing where the cut is supposed to be, and maybe the receiver ran the wrong route and wasn't where to be fair to Dylan, but just – looking at him, he does not look ready for this. And again, the organization, they don't, they're trying to bring Shadur along. They're really treating Shadur like a fifth round pick and like a developmental prospect. And my understanding is that while they like a lot of the physical attributes that he brings to the field, there's just a lot of growth they need to see in his game before I think they're comfortable ramping up his practice reps. And remember, he had a sore arm, and he's the guy getting the fewest reps of any of these guys. And part of the reason he had a sore arm is he's doing a lot of his work outside of practice. He's doing it before practice and after practice. And I think that's kind of taken a little bit of a toll on him physically, and he's having to adjust to that new model that he's working with. But yeah, these two rookies, from my perspective, even though the Browns say it's a four-man competition, for me, it's actually a two-man competition between Flacco and Pickett. And they're preparing Dillon Gabriel to play at some point this season.
That's amazing. It's an amazing insight right there. I love it. Okay, last question, you know, last topic. Just I want to hit this tight end room real quick. Now, you know, you have to include, you know, obviously David Njoku in the mix, right, with Jerry Jeudy, right?
He's their second weapon. He's the second
offensive weapon. Yeah, so like he would be like wide receiver too, right, you would say?
Yeah, yeah. And I'm going to give you another guy to keep an eye on. A sneaky pick for tight end, Harold Fannin Jr. They drafted him from Bowling Green. They absolutely love him. He has looked spectacular in the offseason program and so far in training camp. Looks phenomenal. They're going to run a lot of 12 personnel. So they're going to be using these two tight end sets, going to use to be not only be throwing the ball to the tight ends, but throw the ball to the running backs as well. This is not an offense where they're going to be looking to, you know, for 20, 30, 40 yard passes down the field on a regular basis. They're going to go down the field, but that's going to be more about keeping the defense honest and keeping them from crowding the box. But this is an offense that's going to be predicated around the tight ends, the running backs, and Jerry Jeudy, maybe some Cedric Tillman, to basically methodically move their way down the field kind of play a little keep away and give this outstanding Browns defense an opportunity to rest between possessions.
Yeah, we've seen it before with Kevin Stefanski. He loves his two tight ends, right? Like we saw when he got to the job initially, you know, getting some extra tight ends in there. I love it. You know, Harold Fannin Jr. put up some big numbers in college. Didn't have the best Senior Bowl week, right? And when I was there, you know, in Mobile, you know, but I was so excited to see him, but, you know, he didn't really come through that week. So that's why I was wondering, has he kind of put it together? Is he getting used to it a little bit in OTAs in training camp? And it sounds like, you know, there's some potential here, you know, for that high ceiling as a pass catcher. So that's amazing to hear.
Yeah. I don't know that he's got a 1,000-yard season in him as a rookie. Sure. But I do think he could catch for at least 500 to 750. And, you know, maybe he gets some red zone targets and catches a couple of touchdowns and things like that. And I know I'm being real optimistic talking about the Browns throwing touchdown passes, but, you know, this is where we are. But, yeah, you see the talent from him. And, again, I would absolutely, if you got an opportunity in the right spot in your drafts, David Njoku is absolutely a player that you should consider drafting.
So are we seeing Fannin running with the first team a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause they're, like I said, they're running 12 personnel, and that is, you know, they're back to Kevin Stefanski's bread and butter with new offensive coordinator, Tommy Rees. Ken Dorsey is long gone. They are no longer worrying about Deshaun Watson and trying to placate and build around him. That just is no longer in the cards. They're moving forward. And so they're going to go back to this, methodical Kevin Stefanski ground and pound, chew up clock, chew up yardage type of offense here. And, you know, like I said, there's maybe four guys offensively that if you're a fantasy football player, you might consider drafting. But I would say none of them are worthy of the first pick in your respective draft.
To say the least. I love it. Well, Daryl, really, really appreciate the insight. This helps a ton. And I know our listeners are going to, and our viewers are also going to be, you know, this is going to help them a ton in their draft. So really appreciate it. Thank you for joining us. This is the second year in a row Daryl has joined us, guys. So make sure to follow him on Twitter. And listen, honestly, you know, there isn't that much hype around the Browns because there is a little bit of, you know, there's, you know, the Vegas is not projecting a whole lot of points out of the Browns right now. But at the end of the day, Cedric Tillman's being taken with the last round pick in fantasy drafts, right? He's somebody that, you know, we're looking at like, okay, maybe he can put something together. Jerry Jeudy could be a value fifth, sixth round in your draft as well. You know, Harold Fannin Jr., not somebody who was on a lot of people's radar in redraft in one-year leagues. In dynasty leagues, he was. But that's a lot of this is going to help with all those questions. So, Daryl, really appreciate it. Guys, you can follow Daryl, writer, wrong, F-A-N. So that's R-U-I-T-E-R, wrong, W-R-O-N-G, fan on Twitter. Go follow him. Daryl, appreciate it a ton, man. Thank you.
You bet. And don't sleep on that Browns defense with Myles Garrett on it. They get you a lot of sacks and some turnovers. So that might be a snip. That might be your best pick in a fantasy football draft, is taking that Browns defense early in the season. Maybe not so much late in the season. They could be a little tired by the time you get to December.
I love it. Thanks a lot, Dale. Appreciate you.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.